This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, we are broadcasting from the annual Watchman on the Wall Pastors Briefing here in Washington, D.C., actually just at the foot of Capitol Hill. I'll give you an update a little later when our Hawaii state leader, Pastor Waxer Tipton, joins me here on Washington Watch. But first, two brothers with Middle Eastern ties were arrested in Minneapolis, who, according to authorities, had an arsenal with bomb-making materials, guns, and ammunition in their car. In the wake of the attack in Manchester, England earlier this week, U.S. authorities appear to be beefing up security at a number of events that will be happening over the Memorial Day weekend. Texas Congressman Ted Poe, a member of the Subcommittee on Crime, Terrorism, Homeland Security, joins me in just a moment. And President Trump introduced his budget proposal to Congress earlier this week. Now that there has been time to scrutinize the budget proposal, what does it look like? Well, CNS News Editor-in-Chief Cherry Jeffrey has the answer here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you happen to miss anything, well, it's archived, all at TonyPerkins.com. Also, we've got some links there to some of the messages that have been delivered here at the Pastors Conference, Watchmen on the Wall. You might want to check that out. Go to TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me, at T Perkins. All right. The recent terror attack during the concert Monday night in Manchester, England, raises concerns about security here in the U.S. Going into Memorial Day weekend, officials across the country are beefing up security at places like the Indianapolis 500 and other events that will be occurring. Joining us now is Congressman Ted Poe. He represents the 2nd Congressional District of Texas and serves on the committee on the judiciary, which has he's on the Subcommittee of Crime, Terrorism, and Homeland Security. Congressman Poe, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Always good to talk to you.
Well, Congressman, I'm sure that as you are tracking the events that have taken place this week since the bombing in Manchester, England, other authorities in our country here in the United States are taking notice of these events. We saw this arrest in Minneapolis. These two men with Middle Eastern connections. Is there reason for concern here in the United States?
Yes, Tony, I believe that there is. ISIS has not given up or quit in its determination to do as much evil as it possibly can. And ISIS has made it clear that anyone in the West, especially Christian nations, are targets of ISIS in any way that they can commit crimes. So I think that we're going to see more of these types of attacks in Europe, England, and I think that we may possibly see them in the United States as well, because ISIS has not been deterred.
What do we know about these brothers in Minneapolis? I mean, that's been a kind of a hotbed for radicalism in the United States. We've got some connections with individuals from Minneapolis in that area that have been linked to terrorist activity over the last couple of years. What do we know about that case?
Well, we know that, you know, as you have said, that the Minneapolis or Minnesota has been on occasions a place where terrorist breeding ground. There's other reasons for that. It's because of immigrant populations in Minnesota and other places tend to stick together in a community rather than fan out and become in the melting pot of America.
Right, assimilate.
That is one of the reasons. It's also, we are facing now in the United States, like in England, second-generation immigrants where their parents came to the United States and basically good folks. The second generation sometimes is radicalized, and we're finding that phenomena as they are finding it in Europe as well.
Now, in the wake of the bombing in England, apparent leak of some leaks regarding information there. The Prime Minister the British Prime Minister, Theresa May, has complained to the U.S. about leaks regarding that attack. What's behind this? We're seeing a lot of leaks coming out of this administration. Is this something that concerns you?
A great deal. This has been going on since President Trump took office. Almost a daily occurrence where people that are embedded in government, many have come from the private or a previous administration. They are hangovers from the previous administration, in my opinion, and they are doing what they can to undermine the presidency by leaking information. Some of that information is classified information. The people who leak classified information are committing crimes of felonies in the United States. They not only should go to prison, but they should be terminated from their job. And this is an ongoing occurrence now. The United Kingdom has said that they don't want to cooperate with giving us information about the Manchester bombing because we got that information and people in the United States leaked it to the press before the United Kingdom was ready for it to be leaked, and it compromised the UK's investigation of other potential terrorists that were involved in this this scheme in Manchester. So it's very disturbing. The leakers who leak classified information should be fired, should go to prison. The other question is, well, what about the press that prints classified information? That's a little bit different situation historically in the United States. The press is not liable for printing classified information. The criminal is liable for leaking that information.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Our good friend, Congressman Ted Poe of Texas, represents the 2nd Congressional District. It serves on the Subcommittee on Crime, Terrorism, and Homeland Security. I have to think, Congressman, that if you have one of our strongest allies, England, Great Britain, saying, all right, we're not going to be able to share information with you because of these leaks, that then has implications for our own security, does it not?
No question about it. We, for years, the UK and the United States have shared information, even pre-World War II, and able to do so with the confidence that it would go no further. And in wartime, when you're in that situation, it's especially important. And so, yes, the trust between the two countries is broken because of the fact that people apparently in the United States leak the information to the press. That is very unfortunate. I think it will take a long time to rebuild that. But we don't get to start rebuilding that trust until we stop the leaks in the administration.
So you believe, Congressman, this is coming from individuals who were held over or other individuals who were in this current administration, working under this current administration, that this is intentional to undermine this administration?
That's my opinion. That's what I think about it. The other motives could be for money or something like that. I don't see that they're getting any money to do this. I just think it's people who see a way that they can undermine the legitimacy of the administration, and constant leaks from the White House is one way to do that. Some of those are classified, some of those are not classified, and it's been ongoing almost on a daily basis.
And it surely. And then this surely does shake the confidence of the American people in the government when you have information that is leaking out, which is detrimental to our international relationships and our national security.
No question about it. And that's why the president is certainly right to pursue a thorough investigation of the criminal conduct and the leaks that are coming out of the administration. Who's doing it? And if they are committing crimes, then, like I said, lock them up. Fire
him. And that's essentially what he said today, that he would pursue these leaks and would prosecute at the fullest extent of the law those who are violating this. I mean, at what level do you think this information is coming out? I mean, I'm hard-pressed to think it would be among the president's personal staff in the White House.
I don't know the answer to your question. And I would be surprised if it was the personal staff as well. But some of the information that we've heard, obviously it has to be some people who actually know what's going on a daily basis in the White House. But I don't know what level of person that would be.
Well, I would think that for the president and for his top advisors, that this would cause them to expedite the process of replacing those individuals from the previous administration who are holdovers. Of course, this might be part of the whole plan in the Senate to slow down the confirmation process of the president's nominees to allow these individuals to do more damage while they're still in those positions.
Well, that could be, and we know that the Senate is very slow in approving the recommendations by the president for any appointed position. And people think are complaining about, well, slots aren't filled. Well, part of the reason slots aren't filled is because the Senate's not having hearings on those that require Senate confirmation. But it looks like it's pretty well concerted effort on the part of somebody to undermine the presidency, the reputation of the presidency. But when we start breaking, not only breaking laws, but breaking relationships that have been forged over years and years with countries like the United Kingdom, we need to find out who's doing this.
Well, Congressman, I know you've served as a state judge in Texas. You and I have we've actually traveled together to Israel, and so I know your background. People are accustomed to Washington being a city of problems and controversy and all that kind of stuff. But given your background, your knowledge, and your understanding of what's at stake here, how serious is the problem in your view right now?
I think it's very serious. It's the most serious this is the most serious type of problem I've seen since I've been here in Congress. I came in during the Bush administration and Obama administration. We've never seen any leaks like this, whether they're legal or illegal. Both of those, we have never seen it in our history. So I think it's a tremendous problem. And our country must have credibility with other countries, but we have to find out who is committing crimes of that could endanger American security by leaking information to anyone else, including the press.
Well, Congressman Ted Poe, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday afternoon.
Good to talk to you too, Tony.
All right, take care, my friend. Congressman Ted Poe of Texas represents the 2nd Congressional District. Great guy. Find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're in Texas and Congressman Poe represents you, I'd encourage you to send him a note. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can follow the links over. He's a great, great guy. Folks, this underscores why we need to encourage the administration to move quickly to fill these positions that are still being occupied by holdovers from the Obama administration. And as he pointed out, this is deadly. This is an issue of national security. It's got to be addressed. All right, coming up next, President Trump's roughly $4 trillion proposed budget makes deep cuts in social programs while boosting defense and border spending. Terry Jeffrey, editor-in-chief of CNSnews.com, will be here to break it all down for us on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms in association with American Family Studios introduces Ryan DeFrades, Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrades. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
sweetie. She's an agent. Get her, boys.
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order yours today at ryansecretagent.com.
8 Days of Hope 13 is headed to Lafayette, Louisiana, June 4th to June 11th. Hi, I'm Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. 8 Days of Hope is a faith-based ministry, and we've gone all over the country to help families rebuild after natural disasters. We've helped almost 1,800 families rebuild their homes, sometimes from the ground up. Lafayette, Louisiana, and the whole state of Louisiana got hit by epic flooding last year in August. Almost 25 inches of rain fell, and almost $20 billion of damage was done. Literally 140,000 homes flooded. Think about that, 140,000 families waiting for somebody to be a glimpse of Jesus. You can be a skilled professional, or you can be somebody like me who's less skilled but wants to give back. Go to 8daysofhope.com. We provide the food and lodging, and you can learn a lot more about the ministry. And we can't wait to see you in Lafayette, Louisiana, June 4th to June 11th. For more information, go to 8daysofhope.com.
Some of us take on affliction as a way of life. It comes to define us. Hi, Kim Katola for Cradle My Heart today. Evelyn suffered abortion as a newlywed due to the physical violence of her husband. It was an attack so brutal everyone around her said to press charges. Today, at 70 years old, her pain remains fresh as she shares that instead of a child, her husband gave her a broken jaw and several broken ribs. As tragic as her story is, this lovely woman has chosen affliction as a way of life by believing she's obliged to never forgive. Her heart breathes hatred toward her husband. Are you nurturing your hurt instead of allowing God to heal your heart? Failing to forgive is a self-inflicted wound from which we may never recover. Choose to start fresh today. Find a network of Christ-centered organizations offering hope after abortion at cradlemyheart.org. Saving lives and healing hearts after abortion, one story at a time. cradlemyheart.org.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. All right, President Trump's big budget proposal for 2018 is, it's made its debut. And there's been time now to take a look at it and break it all down. And joining us now to talk about it is Terry Jeffrey. He is the editor-in-chief of CNSnews.com. Terry, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I know you've been busy combing through that budget. I mean, $4 trillion, it takes you a long time to add all that up. What's it look like? What's the top line here?
I think it's an excellent budget. There's some very fundamental things that happen in this budget that America needs to see. For example, it's going to reform Medicaid. We have almost 75 million people on Medicaid in this country, up 17 million from when Obamacare started. And this is going to roll that back. It's going to roll back food stamps. Another program that has exploded is going to completely defund Planned Parenthood, which needs to be done. And it's going to cut taxes. And it's not until 10 years, but it does put the federal government on a path to balance. And I would like to see them speed that up, but it is cutting back on government, cutting back on taxes, and heading toward a balance.
Put this in context, Terry, for our listeners. When was the last time we saw a budget like this?
You know what? I don't think we've ever, in modern times, seen a budget like this, Tony. I quite frankly, I think it's the most remarkable budget I've ever seen. For example, aside from defunding Planned Parenthood, he's going to eliminate federal funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. He's going to get rid of the National Endowment for the Arts, the Legal Services Corporation. All these agencies that basically are spending money to empower the left, President Trump is calling for getting rid of. That together with the fact that he's actually calling for rolling back the welfare state with those Medicaid and food stamp reforms, I think it's really quite remarkable.
I mean, let me tell you, folks, that's a remarkable statement coming from Terry. I mean, Terry's been around here a long time. He's seen these things. And And for you to put such a strong statement of approval on it, I mean, that says a whole lot about this budget. And when you look at it, I mean, it's fiscally responsible. But we're already hearing the squealing, the moaning, the gnashing of teeth on Capitol Hill, and it's not just from Democrats.
No, I mean, I think the question here, Tony, is whether Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and the Republican majorities in Congress follow through on what President Trump is asking them to do, because he's asking them to do the right thing. And by the way, although this is the most remarkable budget I've seen, it's actually very moderate in some ways. I mean, many of the things the federal government has been doing since the time of Woodrow Wilson, and especially since the time of FDR, are quite frankly not constitutional,
right,
let alone the fact that they're leading the country towards bankruptcy. And Trump isn't calling for eliminating Medicaid. He's not calling for eliminating food stamps. But he is calling to seriously reform them and roll them back, which is realistic. And eliminating these programs like the National Endowment for the Arts that he's calling for eliminating is realistic. And Mike Pence, by the way, who I believe is a great vice president, when he was a member of the House, he went down to the floor in promoting his own bill to defund Planned Parenthood.
Right.
And he correctly said it's not moral. It is immoral for Congress to take taxpayers' money and give it to the nation's leading abortionists. Mike Pence is right. Donald Trump is acting on it. We need to see Mike Pence's old colleagues in Paul Ryan's House of Representatives follow through on that.
Well, it's going to require the American people backing up Donald Trump, because I was on Capitol Hill a couple times this week since the budget was introduced, and people, members say, yeah, it's a nice starting point, but we got to do our budget. And I think there will be an effort to try to push it aside. But as you point out, the things that this president's rolling back, things that constitutionally the government shouldn't be doing to begin with. But look at the response to the CBO score on the repeal and replace of Obamacare. The moaning that's taking place over the fact that they are projecting, you know, less people would be covered by health care. Well, is that a primary purpose of the federal government? I mean, I would say no. But anytime you change something and roll something back, whether the government should be doing it or is doing it effectively, doesn't seem to matter.
Well, exactly. You know, if people actually look at what the CBO says about the increase in quote-unquote uninsured people, a lot of them, in fact, the majority of them, are people who aren't going to buy health insurance because the federal government...
They won't have to.
Right, isn't ordering them to do so
right.
in an unconstitutional manner. There will be no penalty for not buying health insurance. People will be free not to buy health insurance, which is the way they were just 3 years ago. But you're right, it's so difficult to roll back one of these things once you create it. And so if they follow through on that, the American Health Care Act, and they follow through on Trump's budget, we've taken a giant step back in the right direction. It hasn't reestablished the true federalist order of the Constitution, but it is a remarkable and unprecedented step back in that direction.
So, Terry Jeffrey, do you think that the Trump administration will have the political muscle to move this budget through?
I think they have the grassroots with them. I think it was to do exactly this kind of thing that President Trump was elected. I think voters see that the country basically is, on one level, is polarized between people who want to be dependent on government and political parties and individuals who want the mass of the American people to be dependent on government, and those who are self-sufficient and who are paying, quite frankly, with their tax dollars for the people who are dependent on government. I think a lot of Americans were losing their hope in the prospect that we could have a government that would actually stand up against that. I think they looked at Trump and they saw him as an unconventional character, that part of that unconventionality might be his willingness to go to Washington, stand up against the establishment of both parties, and start changing things, which is what this budget did. So I think if President Trump fights for it, if conservative grassroots folks fight for it, that they can win this, and I think it's necessary to win it, because if we continue going down the road we've been going on, this country will go bankrupt.
Maybe the last chance to do it.
Yes.
Terry Jeffrey, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, to find out more, you can actually read Terry's article. Go to TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over. Mick Mulvaney, who is the White House budget chief, he says this is the taxpayer-first budget. And I think that's what it is. It puts taxpayers first, not government, not bureaucrats. not special interest. Taxpayers. That's a novel idea. Taxpayers first, government last. Wow. Revolutionary. All right, when we come back, we've got more Washington Watch to come. Waxer Tipton, founder of One Love Ministries from Hawaii, will be here. Don't go away.
Making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
This week's unemployment claims rose by 1,000. Yes, just 1,000. Pretty incredible, and it looks like we have a labor market that is looking a lot like the 1970s. As a matter of fact, average of new claims over the past month are the lowest level they've been since 1973. Pretty amazing. And some of the headlines, most of the liberal media headlines, are talking about the 8-year expansion of the economy leading to this. Come on. Listen, this is the beginning of the expansion of the economy. And it's certainly, by no stretch of the imagination, a part of what some might say is an 8-year expansion that has been going on. It's a lunacy. We have not had an 8-year expansion of the economy. We have watched for the last 8 years a labor rate go from the 21st century deep down into the 20th century. There has been no expansion up until this year. So let's rephrase this and say, here we are at the beginning of the expansion of the economy, as jobless claims sink to its lowest level since 1973.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. As I mentioned, we are actually broadcasting outside of our studio. We're not in our studio. We're in the hotel that is serving as the site for the annual Watchman on the Wall Pastors Conference here in Washington, D.C. at the foot of Capitol Hill. And joining me now here is one of our state leaders from the state of Hawaii. Honolulu, to be exact, is Waxer Tipton. He is a founder of One Love Ministries and been a part of our Watchman process, our Watchman pastors briefing, going back to 2011, I believe, right?
Yeah, either 10 or 11, but aloha. Good to be with you again.
Well, good to see you. And just so I can describe his outfit, he's in a Hawaiian shirt. He has flip-flops and shorts, and he's comfortable.
Suit. It's my suit.
Yeah, in fact, I took him to the speaker's office yesterday in flip-flops, and the speaker asked him, you're obviously not from Wisconsin.
He goes, you're not Wisconsin. Yeah, that's a keeper.
Well, Waxer, let's talk for a few moments today. We already heard from Congressman Mark Walker. We heard from Senator Roy Blunt, Todd Starnes, FoxNews.com, mm-hmm. Frank Turek, Jonathan Kahn, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. What are your thoughts so far?
Well, again, amazing information, which is, to me, what's so necessary, because we become so isolated to exegete only our small community when you're a pastor. You know, we exegete the text and then our immediate community, and it's my larger community that has an impact on me. That's what Watchman on the Wall does for me. When I come here, I'm made aware by these kinds of folks that I would not have exposure to know what's going on in the broader sense. That was my very first epiphany when I came here. Remember, I came kicking and screaming. I didn't really want to come. Jack Hibbs said, bro, you got to come. I'm like, oh, I'm not into watchdogs. You know, I'm a shepherd, you know, and all this kinds of stuff. And he's like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. You got to come.
I remember you sat in the back of the room in your flip-flops and shorts You know, I'm not listening. I'm not listening.
Right. But see, what I noticed is that if I'm trying to change the world, but the world is changing around me, then how am I going to be effective? And so it was through the speakers. I remember exactly, you were talking about stem cell research, and here's what's being said, but here's the facts. And then you had a senator saying, I'm on the floor saying this, but no one's backing me up. And it was all of these things that really moved me to the last three P's. And so when you expressed those in the last day, I said, I was in. And since then, as you know, Hawaii is being changed because of taking those and moving and getting pastors involved there. But it's the information that's going to bring about transformation. And I need that as a pastor. I almost said kahu. That's our Hawaiian word. And so when I'm better informed, I'm better equipped.
And so as you've gone through this process, you're not just a pastor who's a watchman. You've become a watchman leader. Mm-hmm. You are leading Hawaii as our what we call our state chairman, our state leaders. And you've gotten very involved mm-hmm. in the state of Hawaii, working with elected officials. Did you ever envision that you would be doing these things?
No, not at all. And that was the transformation that took place here. I had the epiphany sitting there in the back with my legs crossed that Daniel had Nebuchadnezzar's ear. He didn't get in his face. That Nehemiah had Artaxerxes' ear. He wasn't in his face. And yet the church is always reaction, and so the government always sees them in their face. So I went back to Hawaii and figured out who was the senator of where my church was, and I went up to him and said, you were obviously called into public office like I was. How can I help you fulfill how you were called into this community? How can I help you do? And they just was like, wait, what's in it for you? What are you doing? And it was two or three times there praying with him like we did yesterday and showing up. I pray for each one of their sessions, and when it comes their turn to pray, we still pray in Hawaii to open up the session, which is amazing. But helping them in their communities, then when situations have started to come, laws begin to be written and proposed that are contrary to our biblical worldview, they have actually, one of them actually called me. How amazing is that? Hey, pastor, I know this thing's going to pass. I know, what is it that I could do to help? What are some of the key things? And I thought that was amazing.
And it's all based on relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And building bridges and serving. You know, again, Nebuchadnezzar, not a godly man, and yet Daniel served him. He even called him, you know, oh, great Nebuchadnezzar. So he honored the office. And I think sometimes we miss that in Christianity. Sometimes we just start blasting, and then we wonder why there isn't an opportunity to minister. There's no mutual respect. I respect a person in an office.
So, Pastor Waxer, you see kind of a different spirit here than what you anticipated.
Oh,
it's not
absolutely.
That in your face. It's
no.
More like, how can I come alongside and help you?
Exactly. Influence. So how can I influence? And first, it's by, you know, trust, information, learning how to speak. One of the best takeaways that I took away was from David Barton the first year. He said, we need to learn how to think theologically but speak secularly. And so you never use the word abomination when you're talking to a secular leader. You know, you talk about, well, impact. Impact on this would be dot, 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 and ramifications, and do you see how this opens up? And so that's how I've been able to influence some policies in Hawaii.
Well, I want to talk with you. We're up against a break here, but I want you to hold on. There's no place you can go in town dressed like that anyway, so you stay right here. And I want to talk about it because you actually got involved in a lawsuit.
Correct.
Some local officials there, you were your church meeting mm-hmm. in a school, which I spoke at.
Mm-hmm.
Only
did.
Time I ever preached following hula dancers.
That's right.
That was a bit different. Bit different. But we're going to talk about that when
right.
we return. My guest, Waxer Tipton, he is a pastor in Honolulu, Hawaii. He's a part of our Watchman Pastors Network, and we're going to talk about the, you know, you don't have to be looking for a fight. In fact, we shouldn't be looking mm-hmm. for a fight, but we should never back down from standing for the truth.
Amen.
And in this culture, and in the society we live in today, there are those that want to silence the truth. And folks, we just can't let that happen. We got to continue to stand and speak the truth. We're going to continue our conversation with Waxer Tipton when we return here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. Check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can actually follow a link over and see many of the speakers who have already spoken here at the 14th Annual Watchman on the Wall Pastors Conference. All right, coming back in just a few moments with more Washington Watch. Don't go away.
We all know what it feels like. We try to avoid it. Experts define it as an unpleasant sensory and emotional experience associated with actual or potential tissue damage, or describes in terms of such damage. What is it? It's pain. Did you realize that you probably started feeling pain at a very young age, or even before you were born? Scientific studies have increased our knowledge of life inside the womb. We now have strong evidence that unborn babies can feel pain by 20 weeks or earlier. At Family Research Council, we believe that all babies are worth protecting. We also hope that even those who don't share our pro-life commitment will listen to the medical community and support laws that protect the unborn child from cruel suffering. For more information, visit frc.org/fetal pain. That is frc.org/fetal pain.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
Join Frank Turek, Richard Land, Norman Geisler, Greg Kokel, and others for Southern Evangelical Seminary's National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 13th and 14th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Enjoy informative talks, a live debate, and a dialogue with Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. Plus, there's the premiere of the American Family Association documentary, The God Who Speaks. Early bird pricing ends August 1st. Visit ses.edu for details.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms, in association with American Family Studios, introduces Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrades. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie! She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order yours today at ryansecretagent.com.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. We are, if you're just joining us, broadcasting from the annual Watchman on the Wall Pastors Conference at the foot of Capitol Hill. Waxer Tipton, my guest, one of our pastors. He is, in fact, our lead pastor in the state of Hawaii. And we were just talking, Waxer, before the break. Your church, One Love Ministries, mm-hmm. was meeting when I was there. I forget how long ago that was. It's mm-hmm. been a while.
Yeah.
And since I've been there, I haven't been able to practice my surfing.
Right.
That was the last time I surfed.
But you did great.
I stayed on the board.
On
my
the
head
record,
was above
folks.
Water.
Yeah. The Marine did good.
Yeah. Well, you were meeting at a school.
Correct.
And all of a sudden, something happened.
One day, a ream of paper got dropped in our front office, and there was a lawsuit from a couple claiming to be part of an atheist group, and they were calling it a false claimed acts, basically whistleblowers stating that we were frauding the state of Hawaii by meeting in the school and in improper relationships that crossed the lines of the separation of church and state, meaning the schools and the churches should not have been in this collaboration, quote unquote, by us meeting in the school and all the things that we were doing. We dropped about $100,000 a year in the school because my mindset was you don't use something, you partner with something.
Right.
Well, their mindset is that partnership was illegal and that I was actually manipulating the school by the benevolence that we were giving.
So where do things stand?
Well, again, you know, one of the scariest things in your life, you know, in ministry, you prepare for everything except that. I never had lawsuit 101 in seminary, you know, and so that was a scary thing. And so thank God for Alliance Defending Freedom and met them again here, Watchmen on the Wall, would have never known anything about them. And they came in and then they argued that the whistleblower law, which is what they were claiming to doing, was not even legitimate because everything they got was on the website or public access, and there was no collusion going on and so forth. So ADF made their arguments. The local judge agreed. Then the accuser chose to then take it to Supreme Court. So just last Friday, we were at the state Supreme Court, and it's still there. And so now, from what I understand from the ADF attorneys, that it can last 8 to 10 months before they ever make a decision. So I would ask the general public to continue to pray, because we are a precedent-setting case. ADF told me that the rest of the state is, even the rest of the country is watching to see what's taking place. So all the other ones have not moved forward because they were waiting to see what happens with ours. And the distinction, Tony, is this. The time we use the auditorium versus the time we were on the property. What I'm being sued for is boots on the ground, because I said show up at 6 a.m. and pray, but we only charged from 8 to 1 to use the auditorium. But because there was people there until 2:30 cleaning up, we should have been charged from 6 to 2:30, completely ignoring the fact that when we showed up every morning at 6, there was people playing tennis, softball teams that were using the field, parents teaching their kids how to drive. So why would I be held at a different standard because I'm already paying to be on the property and utilizing this public property? I was even vilified in just last Friday's court for actually, he said, and they even fed people on the grass afterwards. Yeah, so there's homeless that don't want to leave their shopping carts, and so we had our food and we brought it out afterwards and we fed them, and how dare I do such a thing on school property.
So, Waxer, how has your congregation responded to all of this?
Well, obviously, first was fright, and then a little bit of frustration. God, what are you doing, and how come, and why would such a thing happen? And then the part that was so amazing to me is this. This is a Romans 8:28 story. So here we are at this beautiful location at the school. God is doing amazing things. You saw it. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden we have to move, and there's no place for us to move until this basically ghetto area in downtown Honolulu that was just warehouses and rotting down things and just completely. I lost several hundred people when we moved down there. They're like, I'm not going down to that area. It was that bad. Were removed. Well, the joke is on Satan, and you know, because what man intended for evil, God is using for good. That is in the last 10 years become the new gentrified area of Honolulu. It's the fastest growing, most trendiest place to be. Every church is trying to find a way to plant in there, and guess who's got a long-term lease with already has a preschool, already has a skate park in there, and has a multi ministry going with 3 or 4 services already.
That's so exciting.
That is exciting. And I want to encourage pastors and churches out there, when something comes and you think it's not going your direction, or why would God do so? It was actually the hand of God just moving us to an area that nobody knew would become the newest, hottest ticket.
Waxer Tipton, my guest, pastors in Hawaii. He's our state leader in, and that's, it's a rough state to be a state leader in, but politically it is. I mean, it's not a very conservative state. It's a beautiful state.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. How would you have handled that situation had you not been a part of the Watchman Network and understood it, of what was going on culturally and how that fits into the overall struggle that we find ourselves in? But really, you know, as Paul writes, is, you know, don't get concerned about these things. This is the Christian walk.
Yes. Thank you for that. And that is exactly, when you asked me that question, my mind scrambled, and really the first thing that came through was that you're not alone in this. Meaning, you know, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation or trial has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And it is here that I learned about multiple cases, of multiple the brothers got taken off their TV show, and on and on and on, and all these things. This is what happens in the world of light and dark when you stand for God. And so immediately, it's easy to feel like I'm alone in this. No, I'm not.
Right, right.
So I not only have brothers and sisters who are also going through this, but then I also have the support network around, and also learned how to teach our people how to respond. That even those who are accusing us are, in fact, in my heart, victims. For why would they be shooting at the Lord's work unless in hurt and in pain? Where would I get that? But through the Word of God and through the fellowship of others who are enduring.
See, that's what I see this, and that was the vision for Watchmen, was to send a very clear message. The enemy wants to, and I say the enemy of our soul, the devil, what he wants to do is make us feel like we're alone. He wants to kind of, you know, that's why
isolate.
You got the one sheep that goes off from the 99.
He
wants to kind of pull them off, make them feel as if they're by themselves, scare them, intimidate them. And we're not alone.
No.
And that's what a network of watchmen pastors are. They
Absolutely.
Stand together. And with that, you can then see these challenges as opportunities.
That's right.
Because you know that hey, I'm not the first one that's experienced this. Mm-hmm. This is happening mm-hmm. across the country. I heard about this. Let me mm-hmm. call this pastor because he's gone through this.
Right.
And let's see what God might do through it.
Absolutely. I mean, do we or do we not believe Romans 8:28, that God causes all things to work together for good? And that's what I stood in front of my congregation and said, how can we believe everything else about salvation, this and that, and not believe that in this, that God is going to do something good? And even in our very recent time, we've already seen good things happening out of this. Now, do I wish it would go away? Absolutely. You know, does it consume some of my time? Absolutely. So God is still at work and refining in it. But again, I'm here this year learning about what else is going on.
What does still afford you time to surf?
When I can get everything to line up. So Monday is the day off, but if the waves have to show up on Monday as well.
Well, so there's still time.
Absolutely.
There's plenty of time.
Absolutely.
If you can still serve. Well, let me ask you this before I let you go, Waxer. What would you say to pastors who are out there that have been a little skeptical about, you know, I don't want to be a part of some political operation?
Right.
I've heard about this Watchman thing. I don't know about that.
Okay. First of all, I do get that flack as I'm trying to minister to my other local pastors, and the classic line is, bro, I'm not into being political and such, and the church should stay out of politics. Well, my first response is that would be the case if the politics hadn't already entered the church. It's not that the church is getting into politics. Politics has come into us. They are now speaking about our values and our biblical worldview. So as a shepherd, shepherds do just that. They lead. Hmm. They don't just watch the sheep and the grass change around them. I need to guide them too, good, and protect them. I have a shepherd's crook, so be able to guide. Secondly, my primary goal is not to save America, but to save Americans. But by doing one, I help the other. And so I cannot say I'm going to try to save Americans. In other words, how can I preach the gospel if I can't preach the gospel? So if that right is removed from me, then how do I become that voice that they're saying, this is what I want to be? And so I began to start engaging with them and saying, look how the world is changing. And so if you are thinking about this, this is in the same way that you would take a class in seminary on how to prepare yourself for whatever it would be, whether it would even be baptisms or how to do funerals. You also need to know how to be a missionary in the culture of where we're living. We need to learn how to engage in the language of the culture. And friends, our culture is changing radically and quickly. And so how can I be a best shepherd? But that's to know how to exegete my country, my culture, my community, and the text of the Word of God.
And what this has done for you, as I know that it's done for many, many pastors who are part of the Watchman Network, is that it doesn't shrink your church, doesn't shrink your focus, it expands it because you actually take your church beyond the walls of the church. You begin to shepherd the community.
Absolutely. And like I said, when there are opportunities for people in leadership who are secular, who begin to see your compassion and your heart and your care for them, I would have never known to do so. It is them who at times reach out. And everyone's going to have a bad heart, a bad day. So where can they turn? Well, now they know of a minister. If I had not thought about being a cultural and a community pastor as well, I would have just been One Love Ministries.
And what would be the chance that those folks would have come into your church? Mm-hmm. You've taken the church to them.
Correct. Absolutely. And isn't that where you said, go?
But we have this idea that it is come and see. Versus yeah. Let's go and tell.
Exactly. So, but again, that's where cultural impact teams have been very, very important, because it's not just me. It's not just Pastor Waxer, but raising up a team of people. So we've had a lot, as you said, liberal laws that are very contrary to our biblical worldview, but they be able to equip my people to go and sit in those readings and to be respectful and to call them by their, you know, their name as their office is, and to share a heart. I have had literally person after person after person down there say, you know what, I always loved whenever a One Love person came up to speak, because they were respectful, they were kind, but they were thorough with what they had to say. We equipped our saints how to do the work of the ministry, and that is to speak in this secular but no theologically terms, and to do so and engage in the public.
Right. And that's our mission at Watchmen, is to help the pastors do that for their congregation.
Absolutely.
Waxer, thanks so much for joining
us.
Great to see you. And if you walk out on the street dressed like that, if you get picked up, let me know. I'll come get you. Waxer Tipton, he is our pastor in Hawaii. Folks, if you'd like to find out more about Watchmen on the Wall, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. And by the way, I mentioned this earlier, but we've got links to the actual video clips, and you can see the pastors We had some great panels today, some great speakers, got more to come tonight. James Robinson is going to be receiving our annual Watchman Pastors Award. He'll be here. Congressman Jody Heiss, and then a full day or a half day tomorrow. We'll wrap up around noon. Dr. Tony Evans will be closing us out tomorrow along with General Jerry Boykin. Again, you can find out more about that. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, we're not going to have time to go to the phones. I would have liked to, but I wanted to finish that conversation with Waxer because I think it's so important that we understand, as Christians, our role, and as pastors, we must lead. Now, I've mentioned this many times before, and even on this program. I have a very prominent political friend who one day asked me the question, says, Tony, why do pastors expect me to talk on TV about issues that they won't preach about from their pulpits? And, you know, that is so true. We look to the politicians. We want them to talk about abortion. We want to talk about the sanctity of life. Well, when was the last time you heard a message from the pulpit of the church that you go to on the issue of the sanctity of human life? We want these political leaders to talk about marriage, that it's the union of a man and a woman. Well, when was the last time you heard that from your pulpit? Or about sexual morality and how we should live our lives as Christians when it comes to these issues? When was the last time? When was the last time you heard from the pulpit a pastor challenging the youth to be pure and to be holy and to live in a way that honors God? So before we point to the halls of government and to the politicians that hold those offices, we need to look and recalibrate to make sure that our message is the whole counsel of God, that we are preaching it from our pulpit and we're living it in our communities. And it goes beyond the four walls of a church. And Pastor, we can help you do that. That's why Watchman on the Wall is here, so that we can partner with you and stand with you and encourage you so that you can equip the saints in your church for the work of the ministry. This is it's a unique time. One of the themes that we've seen already in this conference, and this is unscripted, but the pastors and the speakers have talked about this window of opportunity, the reprieve that God gave us in this election. Nothing's been solved. The problem is not over, but the opportunity to solve it is now before us. The question is, what will we do? What will we do with this moment in time that God has given us? Will we be found faithful? And here's what I believe must happen. As Christians, not just pastors, all of us, we have an obligation to live out our faith in a real and authentic way, to live out the gospel, to share the gospel in word and in deed, to go, as Waxer was talking about, go therefore and tell and live and be unapologetic about the fact that we're Christians. And when the truth comes under assault, not shrink back in silence, not hide in the shadows, and not hope that somebody else addresses it, but to be bold and to be courageous, to stand uncompromisingly for the truth, to speak that truth in love with a redemptive heart, hoping that those who oppose us come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and experience the abundant life. That's the truth, and that's what we defend. All right, folks, out of time for today. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. And again, check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. And I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians chapter 6. You know it. He says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.